Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
1 through 10. We could just talk about peace today and finish what the Lord has initiated. I think we need to talk a lot more about this vital piece of spiritual armament called your preparation, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When I first read that scripture, I thought about preaching the gospel that brings peace to the heart of people and being ready to give an answer to all men for the hope that's in us so they can find this peace. But I found out in order to preach effectively the Christ that can grant that kind of peace, this peace with God, that I had to preach from a standpoint having achieved the peace of God. It's hard for people to listen to me tell them what God can do for them if they don't see what God is doing for me. Can you say amen? How many know that's very difficult to do, to communicate something that isn't working in you to someone else just because the Bible says so? And if we should be the first person to partake of these things. Amen? And in fact, the devil really fought me when I was going through nervous exhaustion, because between the anxiety attacks and the depressions, that this seesaw effect of all of it, you know, the devil said, how dare you go out and preach to others in the condition you're in? And I thought, how dare you, amen, try to get me to quit preaching the very thing that, you know, the Bible said we study to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of God. And Timothy was told to give himself to prayer and to the study of God's word, for in so doing he would save himself and them that hear him. Amen. What people didn't realize when I was preaching under that anointing, Robert A. Venable was receptive. I suddenly wasn't just pouring it out to others. I was drinking every drop of it into my own life. And you know something? That's something that God changed in me, that still changed in me. Praise God. I am through that time of anxiety and that time of battle, and I'm grateful to look back on it and say that Jesus is wonderfully faithful and merciful, and I'm so grateful for the process he brought me through. I wouldn't want to go through it again or want anybody else to go through it, but I'm grateful for having come through it, because I know him in a deeper walk than I ever knew him through any gift of the Spirit, through any manifestation of the Spirit. I have shouted, danced, I have fallen out. Amen. You'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that had a spiritual experience as far as the normal things that happen. I haven't been up to third heaven yet. Amen. With Paul, I haven't seen anything like that. I haven't really seen an actual angel, but I have felt angels enter a room on many occasions. And I'm going to tell you, their presence is so real, without even seeing, you will know. And it's an awesome thing. They are not fat babies with wings. Everybody say they're not fat babies with wings. No, Hallmark doesn't have a good understanding of angels. You get that from the Bible, not a Valentine's card. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank God they're not fat. Fat babies with wings don't make people fall as a dead man before them. These are awesome creatures from that other world, that spiritual realm, and they're mighty in battle. And just to know that, listen, folks, I don't want a fat baby with wings with all I fight. Amen. I want a 12-foot angel with a gleaming sword in his hand. Praise God. send me Michael. Hallelujah. Amen. Angels are mighty beings, but that's another story. Praise God. But I just want to declare to you today that God is faithful. I want to live it out now. I'm closer to him. I know him better. I know how to lean on him better. And every time I feel myself, you know, headed in that other direction, I remember where he brought me from. And I begin to look to him in a childlike dependence. And my growth has come through becoming more childlike in my dependence, not becoming more independent by, now I can use my faith, I don't need to lean on Jesus as hard. No, the more I use my faith, the more I need to lean on Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you this morning briefly about the Lord's, which don't mean anything, but I'll try to, we've had a lot of preliminary this morning. The Lord's Supper, proclaiming Jesus Christ as our sacrifice lamb, our sovereign Lord, and our soon coming King. That's kind of an easy little way to remember the thrust of this message. But I don't want to take it from the usual sources. I want to take this from Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. This is a vital part of the book of Revelation. This is where if Jesus hadn't won victory, we wouldn't have victory. This is what validates everything he did at the cross and through his resurrection. This is where it's really accepted or rejected. It's at this point in time that we find out, amen, did the sacrifice that he offered at the cross, did God accept it? Amen. Through his resurrection, did he conquer death, hell, and the grave? Amen. And do we have the promise of victory through his victory? Amen. Because of what happened. It's all right here. This is the pivotal part of the whole thing. Is the earth, are the meek really going to be able to inherit the earth? Amen. This is what it pivots on, this event, Revelation chapter 5. Are we going to live on a world that's been cleansed of sin and of Satan one of these days? Is there going to really be a new heaven and a new earth? Did it happen? It happened at this. This is where it pivoted. This is where it was validated or invalidated. So this is a vital part of Scripture to the theology that we have embraced of eternal life and a new heaven and a new earth and living forever with Christ. Hallelujah. Revelation 5, verse 1 through 10. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Let me just stop here. I hate to stop because if I stop after every sentence, we will be here until tomorrow. But I must stop right here. This book is a... You understand that when the seals are opened of this book, all of the judgments begin in the book of tribulation upon the earth. And the earth is actually going through a cleansing and a preparation for those who are the heirs of salvation to inherit. Blessed are the meek, for they shall what? They shall inherit the earth. Hallelujah. God intended man to live on this earth. So if you think you're going to sit in heaven and strum a harp on a cloud, got news for you. Amen. It's not going to be that way. The New Jerusalem is not going to stay up there. Amen. The heavenly city is not going to stay in heaven. The heavenly city is coming down to the earth. Amen. Isn't that incredible? John said, I saw the city coming down. That's going to be quite a sight. When a city that is 1,500 miles square and 1,500 miles tall comes down out of heaven, this glistening, glowing, heavenly city is coming down to this earth. That's incredible. Amen? As incredible as it is, that's what's going to happen. Amen? And we're going to reign in this earth with Christ. Amen? Isn't that something? So if you're talking about we're going to live in heaven forever, no, we're going to live here forever. We're going to go to heaven until he comes to bring his kingdom to the earth. But when he comes to set his kingdom upon, it's going to be here, according to the word of God. Isn't that good? Amen. I mean, we're coming back. We're like Arnold. I'll be back. Can you say that? They think at the rapture they're rid of Christians and we're all hollering over our shoulder. We'll be back. Can you say amen? And we'll come with him again. Amen. And the city's going to come and there's going to be the trees of life by either side of the river that flows from the throne, a crystal river. Amen. And there's healing in the leaves of those trees for the nations. There will be nations of people here that don't have supernatural bodies and they'll be able to come and with the leaves of those trees have healing to eradicate every illness and sickness on the planet. Wow. Because those trees grow by a river that is the river of what? The river of life. And the trees just have healing in the leaves. Because the roots are being fed by that river. Isn't that incredible? No wonder healing is part of the gospel. It's not extraneous to the gospel. It's part and parcel of it. It is the single most confirming sign that God gave to the message of Jesus as Savior and Messiah is that, amen, when the gospel was preached, the Lord working with them, amen, and the single greatest sign was the healing of the sick. Amen. So I want you to know that God is still a healer today. Praise God. I'm here because God is a healer of the sick. Amen. Not only the sick on the outside, on the inside, which is really outside my spirit, amen, and mind, my body when he healed me of leukemia, but when he healed my mind and he healed my heart, amen, that was so broken and befuddled, when God healed all of that, he's a healer on the inside. He first healed my body, then he healed my soul, then he healed my mind. He makes you whole. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can't get around God without healing being around. You just can't do it. Amen. You can't find a God that doesn't do that in the Scripture. You can't find a Jesus that isn't in the healing business. You can't find the gospel being preached without God working these things. Amen. Acts 14 said, at Lystra there sat a man lame in his feet who never had walked. The same heard Paul preached. And preceding that it said, and Paul went down to Lystra and he preached the gospel. Amen. As he was preaching the gospel and a man heard the gospel, it said that Paul steadfastly beholding him perceived he had the faith to be healed. And that means that in this gospel, healing was part of it. Can you say amen? Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. When he preached the gospel, he preached him a great Savior, a great Deliverer, a great Healer. Can you say amen? And this man sat in lame, heard those words, and faith came alive in his heart. And Paul, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, spoke unto him with a loud voice in Acts 14 and said, stand upon thy feet. Jesus makes you whole. Hallelujah. And he stood upon his feet, and immediately a miracle occurred. And everyone who saw it in two neighboring communities turned to the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. Those are praise tongues. Hallelujah. They turned to the Lord. You know what we need today? We need a manifestation of the Spirit of God so that people will know our God is God. The day of miracles never came to an end, never were meant to come to an end, because the God of miracles never comes to an end. The name of Jesus was powerful 2,000 years ago, and the name of Jesus is powerful today. Hallelujah. Something about that name. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. That's why there is a revival in South Africa. It's because ministers went and preached Christ in the face of such superstition and darkness. And God began to move to confirm His Word with signs following. That's why there's a thriving church. Albeit it's an underground church in South Vietnam, because that, as we were told, according to Moody Bible Institute journalists, that the miracles of the Book of Acts were being replicated in home prayer meetings in South Vietnam. Said nothing you can read in the Book of Acts, nothing you can read in the term of the supernatural or miraculous, and nothing you can read in the Book of Acts is not being replicated. Amen. Nothing is not being replicated in that wonderful, powerful home prayer meeting church world in South Vietnam. Where 50 meets here and 75 meet there and 30 meet there. Isn't that incredible? And here we have these huge faith gatherings. And you hear more than you see. Hello? I said you hear more about faith than seeing what faith can achieve. That's why the Book of Acts is not talking about faith. It's what faith produced. It's the Acts of the Apostles, which is the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the church. Everybody say the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the church. Man never gets the credit for supernatural acts. Can you say amen? No, he doesn't. I'm sorry. You don't put that man on a pedestal, that woman on a pedestal. You put Christ on the throne when you see a miracle. Hallelujah. You talk in tongues? Great. God talks through donkeys too. No marvel that he can speak through you. Maybe a little tougher given the stubbornness of the flesh, but he can do it. Amen. Listen to this. There's a sacrificed lamb. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Now there has to be a man take this book. An angel can't do it. God can't just let it come open. A man has to take it, and a man has to open it. Amen. In order for man to be redeemed, a man had to live a sinless life, give his life as a sacrifice in behalf of fallen man. Jesus was that sinless man. Listen to me. No angel in heaven was holy enough to take the book that would cleanse this earth and prepare it, amen, for this mighty, wonderful company of believers that would live here forever. Do you realize the tribulation is the beginning of the purging of this planet? Amen. It's judgmental, yes, but it's also a purging and a preparation of this planet for those who will live on it forever. Amen. When the wicked and the devil are consigned to the lake of fire forever, and there will be a new heavens, and there will be a new earth, and there will be no more sea. And time on this earth won't be governed by time anymore. Do you realize that? He said, I saw an angel put his foot on the land and put upon the sea and make the declaration, time shall be no more. Time. Amen. The day of man is going to come to a close, and the day of the Lord is going to be ushered in. And time is not just going to stand still. Time just isn't going to exist. We will move from time to eternity. Your body won't age. There's nothing to mark time by anymore. A long time will be a non sequitur or whatever you want to call it. It just won't work right. Amen. Time will be no more. Everything will be in the spectrum of eternal. Can you say amen? 10,000 years, it'll just be started. Actually, it won't even be started. Because what are you putting the 10,000 years up against? Forever. Can you say amen? 10 billion trillion years times infinity. Has no relevance. Because forever is forever is forever is forever. Boy, what you're headed for, dear Lord God in heaven. Amen. We sit in church Sunday after Sunday singing songs about it. Amen. Trying to touch on it with preaching. But I don't think anybody fully grasped what God has grasped us for. Amen. But this is eternal stuff. Amen. And everything that happens in this world is time related. We're living in time, but we're living for eternity. Can you say amen? Paul said the sufferings of this present world, and he had a litany. I mean, the man went through it. He said they're not even worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us on that day that begins, the day, the forever, the eternity, on that day. Amen. Nothing here has any real relevance when you're living for eternity. Can you say amen? So nothing stopped him. Nothing kept him down. Nothing kept him from loving. Nothing got him bitter. Nothing persuaded him not to preach. Can you say amen? Not even death could hit him off. Someone said you couldn't even hit him off, even if you cut off his head. Hallelujah. So this book, many scholars believe, meant the title deed to the earth that Adam forfeited. Amen. And now it's going to be granted back again. And then the purging of the earth and the preparation of the earth for those who will inherit the earth. You're not going to sit on a cloud in heaven. You ought to be glad about that. You know, after about 10,000 years, you might get a little bored. Amen. You're going to live here. If the city's coming here and Jesus is going to headquarter here, amen, then it's going to happen here. God's not going to lose this battle. He's not going to give up the earth he created to the devil because of sin. Can you say amen? He's going to have people here living forever here, just like Adam was meant to live. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? With glorified bodies. Amen. If I want to come to your house, I don't have to knock. I'll just show up. And since corruptible will put on incorruptible, you won't have to hide anything when I show up. Moving right along. Praise God. My wife and I, Dad sicked a preacher on us, and he come to invite us to church. He's trying to get us saved, and we wasn't ready yet. And I saw the man's car pull up in our yard. Nobody ever pulled up in our yard. Amen. And when he pulled up in our yard, it was a hot day. We didn't have air conditioning. The baby was in the back room. Amen. So he had to know we were home. Amen. There's no air conditioning. The front door's open, a little screen door. The television is playing, and my wife and I are crouching behind the couch. It's too late to go anywhere else. He'd see us coming up the walk, so we're crouching and hiding from the preacher. And the preacher's knocking, and he knows we're in there. But being the nice guy that he was, he didn't persist very long. And he left, and we had a sigh of relief, and we came out from behind the couch, you know, and went back to watching television. Praise God. Yeah, it separated the kitchen. You know, it wasn't like we just, you know. But it was somewhere to hide. But aren't you glad for the mighty Holy Ghost? Amen. He might trouble you, and he might cause you to be uncomfortable, and he might allow you, amen, to sin with impunity. He might bother you, but thank God this is a great act of love on God's part. Amen. We were essentially saying, God, let us alone. And I am so glad that God did not let me alone. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you're in a church where conviction comes, some people stay away from churches like that in droves. We even got churches today that won't preach a convicting message because they don't want to bother anybody. Amen. They want everybody to leave feeling good about themselves. Listen, if you're not really ready to meet Christ, you don't need to leave church feeling good about yourself. You need to leave with trembling. Can you say amen? You need to come to know Jesus. You're one breath away from eternity in heaven or in hell. And God wants you in heaven. That's the good news of the gospel. You don't have to be lost. Jesus came to find you and to save you. Hallelujah. Thank God for churches that trouble people that are not right. Not by condemning them, but convicting them. Hallelujah. Preachers would just preach the truth again. All of it. Maybe God could convict someone. Maybe someone would tremble, and maybe someone would come to Christ and really be saved. Maybe we wouldn't sell our soul for illicit sex. Maybe we wouldn't barter our soul against for eternity, amen, for a little more money in our pocket or fame. Maybe our soul would take on an importance, amen, that transcends the things of the world, and Satan couldn't dupe us into destruction any longer. Hallelujah. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." Isn't that incredible? Not only wasn't able to take it from the hand of him who sits upon the throne, but he wasn't even able to look upon him who sits upon the throne or even look upon the book. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold," listen to this, "the Lion," everybody say the Lion, "of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and the midst of the elders, there stood a lamb as it had been slain." The word here for lamb is not a full-grown sheep. It is a little pet lamb as it had been slain. Listen to this. The elders said, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed." And John looked for a lion, but what did he see? He saw a lamb. Everybody say, he looked for a lion, but he saw a lamb. And he didn't just see a lamb, but a lamb that was soaked in blood and was wounded. Do you realize how scarlet blood is on pure white? What a sight this was. Having seven horns and seven eyes. This is a very powerful lamb, isn't it? Isn't that incredible? The fullness of God is indwelling him. Seven horns speaks of his omnipotence, his almighty power. Seven eyes is his omniscience. There's nothing hid of the eyes of him we have to do. God knows it all. Can you say amen? He's omniscient. He's all wise, all knowledgeable. Which are the seven spirits of God. Amen. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Can you say amen? In his perfect being, he's everywhere. Hallelujah. Sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. I could just stop and preach right there. Amen. Where are your prayers? Where's every prayer that you've ever prayed? Hallelujah. Amen. They're in golden vials. Amen. It's laid in the very presence of Almighty. If you think heaven is brass, you're wrong. Amen. Your emotions are reacting to what you feel when you pray instead of what happens when you pray. Amen. Are you a saint of God by virtue of receiving Christ as your Savior? Amen. Are you? Is that what makes you a saint? You're not good enough to be a saint, but is he good enough to grant you sainthood? Amen. Through his goodness, is he able to give you his righteousness? Can you put on his robe and be called a saint? When you pray, you have a standing with God that is absolutely awesome. Amen. Where is prayer? God says, I attend to prayer personally. Nothing is put in the peripheral. Everything is right in my presence before my throne. There's not a whisper from a saint that God doesn't take personal into his personal presence. That's pretty incredible stuff. Well, that maybe won't rot your socks, and not yours because you don't have any on. But anyway, amen, it rots mine, praise God. I get excited about knowing that my whisper, amen, my whimpered prayer, amen, comes into the presence of a mighty God. What a privilege we have as children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why some mamas and daddies die and don't see their children saved. Amen. But somewhere down the line, those kids come in because they've died and went to heaven, but their prayers are sitting right there in the presence of God. Every prayer I've ever prayed for my loved ones is sitting right there, hallelujah, in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't it good to know? I just don't want to stop there. Let's finish. I don't have too much further to go. I got a big outline. We'll never finish it. I'll give you a clue right now. There's no way we're going to finish this. There's too much. Hallelujah. And when they had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and every one of them having harps and golden vials full of odors or incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book. And to open, this is the beginning of heavenly praise like heaven has never heard it. This is the beginning of praise throughout the book of Revelation that will resound throughout all eternity. And there's a reason for this praise. Amen. When this Lamb, hallelujah, is able to take the book, amen, and the seals begin to be opened, praise begins to flow out. And I mean praise like heaven has never heard, and praise that will continue throughout all eternity. Praise like this, heaven has never heard. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said praise like this, heaven has never heard. This is praise that glorifies the Lamb. This is praise that exalts the Lamb. Until this time, this kind of praise, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb was not sung in heaven. But from this time on, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb is going to be the anthem of heaven. Can you say amen? This is the beginning of praise in heaven like it had never been heard and will never be heard again. The highest praise for the highest purpose is now being given to God and to the Lamb. Woo! Hallelujah. In every one of our worship services, practice. It's choir practice here on earth. For the day that we're going to sing it before the throne, and angels are going to be mute because only the redeemed can sing this song, the song of the Lamb. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Maybe it's just me, but I about preached myself happy. I don't mean that I didn't come here happy. There's a higher happy. There's a holy happy. Happy is the man that hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help. And happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to make you holy so he can make you happy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And they sang a new song. Everybody say a new song. Amen. Angel never heard this song. Never been heard in that city. And they sang a new song after this Lamb took the book. Amen. Saying, here's the song, here's the lyrics. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood. What is this extolling? Jesus on the cross, dying as a sacrifice. Come on, this is a new song in heaven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. And has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And has made us unto our God. Something we could never make of ourselves. Amen. Without his redemptive work on the cross. And has made us kings and priests. And we shall reign. Where? Upon the earth. When he reigns upon the earth, we will reign with him. For if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. So he's went ahead and made us kings and priests unto God. Woo. Wow, that's incredible. I get so excited about God's word. It's hard to sleep at night. Now I can't sleep for other reasons. Excitement. I get too excited. I study and get excited. Sometimes I have to stand up from my computer and just say, woo! And I hear a bird in the other room go, woo! I'm out with the birds and I'm supposed to be quiet. I got a bird that'll tell you, be quiet, be quiet. I don't know where he got that, be quiet. Yes, I do. Anyway, moving right along. Boy, if something ever happens to Pamela, I'm going to be haunted. I'm going to hear her every day. Not to be quiet. There's a laughter and other good things. Mom's good boy. Jesus is our sacrificed lamb. John looked for a lion, and he saw a little blood-soaked lamb. Isn't that incredible? The lion of the tribe of Judah had prevailed, so he looked for a lion. And what did he see? A blood-soaked little lamb. You see, in a moment, the lion had been transformed into a lamb, looking as if it had been slain. With one glance, he is a lion. And the next, he's a lamb. With one glance, he's a lion. And the next, a fierce destroying lion. And the next, he's a slaughtered lamb. He's irresistible might, and he's also atoning mercy. All the living creatures, the 24 elders, know why he's been slaughtered. They cry aloud to him, with your blood, you purchased men for God. Every time they see him, they know this. And then they are surrounded by an innumerable company of angels, and they know, they too know why Jesus was slain. And they sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. They don't look in pity on the slain lamb. They sing his praise with a loud voice because they know that that wasn't a defeat on that cross. It was a victory on a cosmic scale. Can you say amen? The central figure in the book of Revelation is Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. Somebody give God praise. Anybody got a Bible? Everybody here, and listen, I listen to good teachings on plagues and bowls and where we are prophetically and the nations aligning themselves, but the book of Revelation primarily, predominantly, is not about, amen, that scenario, even though much is given to it. We are drawn to it because it's sensational stuff. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something more sensational than that. Amen. It's the way the book opens. Before you think of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, before you think of the son of perdition, the 666, and who he may be. By the way, speculators have been speculating for centuries over who he may be. Amen. Somebody thought it was Kaiser Wilhelm when Germany wanted to take over the world because it looked like they might achieve that. Some thought it might be Adolf Hitler. None of these people were men of peace. They were missing it. This man will be a man of war at heart. Amen. But he will come, amen, as a man of peace. He will come as a wolf in sheep's clothing. But if you're all into the Antichrist and the plagues, I'm going to tell you something. You're not prepared for your storms because you don't know Jesus Christ like you need to know him. Can you say amen? Listen to me, church. Amen. This book opens with John being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And he heard one that was speaking unto him, and he turned to see. The greatest revelation John got on Patmos was not what he saw about the future, but what he saw about Jesus in the present. Can you say amen? He said, I heard a voice that was behind me, and I turned to see this man who spake unto me. And he said, when I turned, it sounded like many waters flowing. Everybody say, like Niagara Falls. Amen. Like the voice of a mighty trumpet blowing. And he said, when I turned around, I saw a man with hair as wool. If you've got Jesus, amen, this little meek person sitting on the foal of an ass, amen, letting people slap him around, amen, that is not the Christ that God raised from the dead. That is not the Christ that is sitting at the right hand of God. Amen. This lamb is a mighty lion. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and becoming a sacrificed lamb is what made him the lion of victory that he is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. His hair was as wool. His eyes were as fire. His feet as burnished brass. He's clothed with a robe down to the feet, and his feet are as burnished brass. And he said, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am he, the beginning and the end, he who liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys to death and hell and the grave. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This lamb has become a lion. Make no mistake about it. Jesus is Lord. Not just because we bow, but because the universe will bow one day. In the presence of our King, Madeline Murray will bow. Hitler will rise and he will bow. God will raise him. Why are they being raised only to be consigned to hell? I'll tell you why. So they can bow and confess that he's Lord. Hallelujah. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Somebody give him praise. We're about to finish this. We're going to have a holy communion. John looked for a lion, but he saw a blood-soaked lamb. But what a lamb. But because he became the lamb, God exalted him and made him the lion. The central figure in the book of Revelation, John said, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. And the Bible begins by saying the revelation, the apocalypse. Apocalypse is always because of the plagues and because of the bowls and trumpets and judgments in the book of Revelation. We relate apocalypse to terrible, terrifying events. Apocalypse is a positive word to the church. Amen. Because it's an unveiling of something once hidden. And immediately you think of bowls and trumpets and stuff. No, darling, it's the revelation of Jesus. If you go into this book without a clear revelation of Jesus, you're going to come away trembling, amen, looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. And the same fear that strangleholds the world will stranglehold you. But if you go into the book of Revelation with a clear understanding that He is Lord over every event that's happening and everyone on this planet, you can look to a future that has these terrifying things coming and still give glory to God and live in safety and security. Hallelujah. Wow. Some people came to our church that had been to a prophecy meeting. They didn't know Jesus as Lord of their life and as Lamb and Lion. And they came so troubled about the future events. You know, we sold a lot of products in the Christian world based on fear. Amen. People that believe we're going through the tribulation, we're selling food that could be, preserved for years so that you could get ready for this that's about to happen. And I thought, dear Lord in heaven, the last thing, last thing I would want would be the only house in the neighborhood with food in it with everybody starving to death. Because they're coming for me. I want that meal barrel. If I was in that condition, I'd want a meal barrel that don't go empty. Amen. People break in and look in. It ain't worth killing me for. There ain't but one little cup worth of flour in there anyway. Dear Lord, he can't survive another day, and he wouldn't survive us the afternoon. Go take that cup and pour it out into a bowl, and then pour some more into a bowl, and then pour some more into a bowl. Hallelujah. Amen. Point being, you don't prepare for the tribulation by hoarding up food and digging a storm shelter. You prepare by receiving Christ as your Savior. He's the ark. Hallelujah. Amen. He's the ark of Noah. He is the ark of the covenant. Listen, did you know what that whole box constituted? Amen. Yes, they were pouring blood on the mercy seat, but the mercy seat was for somebody to sit on. Seats are not just to pour blood on. Seats are to sit on. Amen. How many know what a seat is for? It's for someone to sit on. And that's why there's two seraphim facing each other on either end of one molded golden seat on top of this gopher wood ark. Amen. Because the scripture said God would dwell where? Between the seraphim. Can you say amen? The ark of the covenant is where Christ is seated. as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, just thought I'd throw that right by you. Amen. Throne is where you sit. Everybody knows that. Bathrooms are called thrones. Maybe not in your house. The central figure in the book of Revelation is Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. These people couldn't sleep. They didn't have any peace for the future. The only way their world could be secure is if Jesus is just smoothing everything out. And they couldn't handle the fact that it might get rough. And I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, but even if I didn't, I believe in a Christ who can take his church through whatever we have to face. How many believe in that Jesus? He's got to be Lamb and he's got to be Sovereign Lord as well. The title Lamb takes on special meaning and the importance when it's applied to Jesus. It appears 29 times in the book of Revelation. By the way, apocalypse means the unveiling of something previously hidden. John saw Jesus as he is now, glorified. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And we need to see Jesus as he is now, glorified. We need to see him as sacrificial lamb. We need to see him as sovereign Lord simultaneously. As lamb and as lion. 29 times in the book of Revelation, the word lamb is used. I'm going to go through a few of these. Maybe 27. Every time I say lamb, I want you to say, my Jesus. How many know the Lamb is your Jesus? Let's see what this book is really all about. Revelation 5, 6 says, there stood a Lamb. Revelation 5, 8 says, the 24 elders fall down before the Lamb. Revelation 5, 12, angels join the elders. How many, you ask? 10,000 times 10,000 and thousand of thousands. Put that in your computer. Can you say, is that a good mathematical formula? Try it sometime. How many angels are bowing before this Lamb? Angels join the elders in bowing. Revelation 5:12 says 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Say, all of them saying, worthy is the Lamb. Woo! Revelation 5:13 says that blessing and honor and power, they're saying, to the Lamb who lives forever. Revelation 6:1, the Lamb opens one of the seals. Revelation 6:16 speaks of the wrath of the Lamb. Revelation 7:9, multitudes of ransomed souls stand before the Lamb. Revelation 7:10, they cry, salvation belongeth to our God and unto the Lamb. Revelation 7:14, they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7:17, the Lamb shall feed them. Revelation 12:11, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 13:8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 14, I looked and a Lamb stood on Mount Zion with 144,000. Revelation 14:10. Oh, did I miss? Yeah. No, Revelation 14:4. These are they which follow the Lamb and bring first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Revelation 14:10. Wicked are tormented in the presence of the Lamb. Revelation 15:3. Victors sing song of Moses and of the Lamb. Revelation 17:14, the wicked make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb overcame them because he is Lord of Lords. Revelation 19:7, the marriage of the Lamb has come. Revelation 19:9, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 21:9, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Revelation 21:14, the foundations of the city has the names of the apostles and of the Lamb. Revelation 21:22, the city has no temple within, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Revelation 21:23, the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Revelation 22:1 is a crystal river clear flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And Revelation 22:3 speaks of the throne of God and of the Lamb. What is the book of Revelation about? It's about the Lamb that was slain. What is the reason for all the praise in heaven? It's because of the Lamb that was slain. Hallelujah. Why is there victory for you and me? Because a Lamb is standing. Hallelujah. Whoa, hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet this morning, prepare for communion, and let's give glory to the Lamb. Let's give some glory to the Lamb. Let's give some glory to the Lamb. Let's give some glory to the Lamb. Mishalabakitana. Amen. Listen, if the church gets a real clear revelation of who Jesus Christ is, you won't have to fear. Amen. Someone said, fear God, and you need fear nothing else. Don't fear Him that can kill the body and do no more. Fear Him that can cast both soul and body into hell. We need to bow to no other, amen, but the Lord. And we need to understand when we take this drink and when we take this token of His body, amen, we are extolling the virtues of His sacrifice. We are giving honor to the Lamb that was slain. You know what's going to bring the most terrible, terrifying judgments on this world? Trodden underfoot, the blood of the everlasting covenant, to trod on Jesus as if that sacrifice meant nothing, to count something so holy and powerful in God's heaven, in God's presence, in the presence of angels as an unholy thing, to choose your personal sins over His great sacrifice. Amen. Do you understand what I'm telling you? There is no way around the cross. It will become, amen, your deliverer, or it will become your condemner. Can you say amen? You're going to spend eternity in heaven, or you're going to spend it in hell, and it has nothing to do with whether your good tips the balance with your bad. It has everything to do with the Lamb that was slain. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. Thank God, God has presented us with a great Savior. Halabakisa. Halala, shilamanite. Amen. Those of you that are here that want to get excited about something, you need to get excited about this Lamb. It's the lackluster presentation of a testimonies about Jesus that is unconvincing to the world about us. Can you say amen? What turns you on? What motivates you today? Can you see Jesus in the book of Revelation? Can you see beyond the plagues and the bulls and the Antichrist and the political agendas? Can you see Jesus? Can you see Him reigning in your life right now? Can you say amen? Can He speak peace to your troubled soul? Can He bring joy, amen, to your heart right here and right now? This book is about Jesus reigning forever and a church that's going to reign with Him. Can you say amen? And a devil that's going to be bound, amen, and cast into the lake of fire. And an earth that's going to be made brand new for people to live on forever with Him. There's victory here with a capital V. We're going to sing the song of the Lamb when we get to heaven. And it's going to be a new song. But it'll be the song that resonates in that city throughout all eternity. What does a blood-soaked lamb do to you and do for you? What kind of service are you prepared to commit? How many people sit home from church services having an opportunity to glorify this Lamb every Sunday? But He ain't worth it. He ain't worth my party. He ain't worth my belly. He ain't worth my good time. Yes, He is. He's worth your life, your soul, your everything, your all. And I will preach a Christ that's worth nothing less. My Christ is worthy. The Christ the one I'm preaching to you this morning is worthy of your all. I don't preach one that will stay in the peripheral of your life. Hallelujah. I like one pastor's perspective as we prepare for communion. You can be seated just a moment. He said, I've been moved deeply recently in reading about the life of Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf. Many of you know about him, some don't. He was a German born in 1700 who founded a community of earnest Christians called Herhut, which means the Lord's watch. The community became part of the Moravian Church, was best known for its unparalleled missionary zeal. In 1727, the community started a round-the-clock prayer watch that lasted unbroken for 100 years. If there's anything that convicts me, it's all the time I have for everything and how little time I find to do what these people did, and that's to pray. There were about 300 persons. Oh, by the way, when I see people that don't love and honor God and serve Him and get excited about Jesus, whatever else you know is meaningless to me. Because you don't know the most important knowledge of all. You've missed it. You've missed it. Some people stand in line for hours to fall out. I've been there, done that. But if I don't get up with a deeper knowledge of God, I haven't made one spiritual step from where I was before it happened. My emotions feel better. I, in fact, feel good. But when the storm comes, I'm no better prepared than anybody else. Have you ever noticed that shouting Christians, amen, fall from that place of standing on that mountain just as deep as anyone else when the trouble comes? Shouting Christians can become depressed as easily as anybody else because you've got to know more than the shout on the mountaintop. You've got to know the God of the valleys enough to trust Him. Listen to this. There were about 300 persons in the community at the beginning, and various ones covenanted to pray for the one of the 24 hours in the day. So they did this by praying 1 hour. Everyone through 24-hour day, every hour of every day was covered by someone praying. And this is for people to come to know Christ. In 1792, 65 years later, with the lamp of prayer still burning, the little community had sent out 300 missionaries to the unreached peoples of the West Indies, Greenland, Lapland, Turkey, and North America. They were utterly and radically dedicated to making Jesus known. I mention this not only because I dream of a church saturated with prayer and sold out utterly to Christ and ready to leave everything for His call. I mention it this morning because behind this community at Herhut, there was an experience of deep humbling and cleansing and power based on the blood of Jesus. After Zinzendorf had finished the university, he took a trip throughout Europe looking for some cultural high spots. And something very unexpected happened. In the art museum at Dusseldorf, he saw a painting by Domenico Fitti called Esse Homo, Behold the Man. It was a portrait of Christ with the crown of thorns pressed down upon His head and blood running down His face. Beneath the portrait were the words, I have done this for you. What have you done for me? All of his life, Zinzendorf looked back to that encounter as utterly life-changing. It's what communion should be. Should change our lives from selfishness, self-centeredness, from laziness, spiritual emptiness, to saying, God, I want You and I want to serve You more than anything in this world. That's where real fulfillment is and nowhere else. As he stood there, as it were, watching his Savior suffer and bleed, he said to himself, I have loved Him for a long time, but I've never actually done anything for Him. From now on, I'll do whatever He leads me to do. For the rest of his life, the blood of Jesus had a central place in the doctrine and devotion of Zinzendorf and his community at Herhut. And the story goes that when the first two young missionaries boarded the ship in Copenhagen to sail for the West Indies, perhaps never to return, 20 out of the first 29 missionaries to St. Thomas and St. Croix died in those first years while preaching the gospel. They lifted their hands as if in sacred pledge, called out to their friends on shore, May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward for His suffering. That means the souls that we can reach for Christ will be the greatest offering we can bring to the Lamb that was slain. They saw Christ as a Lamb that was slain, and they melted, and they gave their all. if you see Jesus just as a material being, visceral material being, just meeting your natural needs, your physical moment-to-moment needs, you don't see Him as a lamb that has been slain. You're living in time. You're not living for eternity. And you're faking a devotion that doesn't have anything behind it. Because the majority of our strength, time, talent, worries, what you're worrying about tells what you're thinking about. Come on. Whatever's bugging you this morning is where your priorities are. It wouldn't be a bug. Are you hearing me? How could it bother you if it wasn't important to you? How could it eat you up if it wasn't important to you? Can you say, man? Well, they did this to me. To who did they do that? To me. The grand issue is not what they did. The grand issue is who's on the throne of your life. The Bible said, consider Him who suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be weary and faint in your own mind. Why? Because when you're thinking about all the bad things that are happening to you, you never think about what happened to Him in your behalf. When you think about what happened to Him in your behalf, you want to shout glory. You want to dance. You want to serve Him. You want to praise Him. But when you think about poor old you, you don't want to do nothing but go home in your room and sit in the gloom and ponder doom. Bumper sticker, pretty true of our society. We're born crying. Live complaining and die disappointed. If there's something that's got a stranglehold on much of Christianity, it's ungratefulness. Amen. Instead of being thankful for what we got, we're whining about what we don't have. Yeah. I hear it all the time. If I just had that. Do you really think that that is going to make you happy if Christ cannot? Don't you think happiness ought to start where you are with Him? Don't you think that's... you give Him a clap offering. Give Him a praise. Hallelujah. You need a clear vision of the Lamb. I need a clear vision of the Lamb. I don't feel like complaining when I look at that blood-soaked Lamb. And I don't feel like running in fear from the devil when I see that Lamb transform into a lion. Ushalabara. I love Aslan. In the Chronicles, amen, of C.S. Lewis. I love some of his parodies, amen. I love the one book where he asked this man to take this huge thorn and pierce this big, padded, powerful paw of this lion, amen, to bring life to someone who is dying. The lion says, if that red blood comes out of me, amen, that man's going to live. So pierce me so that he can. And that big drop of blood comes out of that huge padded paw of this thing so powerful he could have slapped away that if he'd wanted to, but he took it so that someone else could live. Oh, thank God for my lamb and thank God for my lion. Can you say amen? You, Heavenly Father. I want to bring you closer to me because the days ahead are going to be filled with fearful things. I want you to dwell in perfect safety in me, saith God. I want to still the storm in your soul this very day. I don't want to just save you and take you to heaven someday. I want to save you and come and be with you and keep you and satisfy you and secure you. I want you to know the peace that I came to bring. See me as a lamb slain for you, and a lion who defends you.